Today is Vision Sunday, and we're glad that you're here. It's a different Sunday for us as a church, as we break away a little from our regular routine and take some time to reflect backwards, some time to look forward, and even though it's a different routine, it's still a time of worship. It's still an act of worship and a process of worship. And so we see worship having different formats and different feels at different times. In that psalm that was just read for us, the psalmist looks back and says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed." And so the psalmist is able to sit wherever he sits at his writing desk and think back to the ways that God has been faithful, the ways that God has been involved in the history of Israel, in the lives of the children of Israel. Perhaps, I don't know exactly what he had in mind. Perhaps it was a particular occasion. He goes on and says, "Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy.'" And so sometimes we can get caught up in the moment and the problems of the moment, the CNN moment, the Fox News moment, and they're always disasters, and they're always tragedies, and they're always urgent problems that need to be solved, and the future is going to be terrible, and so we take this moment as a church to step back and say, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we filled with joy." And so certainly that becomes perhaps our focus around the Lord's table, and we always want to bring everything back to the cross, back to Jesus, which is a very natural thing and a good thing. But it's not the only thing that God has done for us. And so today, as an act of worship, we're going to look at some statistics, some numbers. And we're going to say, God has used us because you have contributed to those statistics, contributed to those numbers. And God has been faithful to me so that I could be faithful to him. And think of the moments of joy that we've had in the past year in 2019. So some of those numbers from last year are, we had some really big days, didn't we? Harmony Sunday, worship in the park, Easter. In fact, I don't have this in my notes later on. And so Easter was so big last year that we decided then that we're going to have two worship services this coming Easter on a Sunday morning. Because we had a little bit more room in here, but we ran out of room in the parking lot, even using some of the additional parking. So there's no point having room here if you can't park your car. So we've still got to work out those details. But that's a blessing. And so we had an average attendance of 110, which is down a little bit from 2018, if you're keeping track. But again, over 250 different guests. And that includes out-of-town people and people from other churches and people just, you know, passing through. But that is a big number. You divide that by 50. And you get five new guests each week. Now, that's inflated by those big Sundays, right? We might have 20 at Easter or 30 at worship in the park. But overall, throughout the year, we have more than 250 different people come through. Some of those are attending church for the first time in years. Some of those, we have the opportunity to be the only Jesus that they know for the year. And that's why our welcome ministry is so important. That's why our hospitality ministry. It's why just cultivating a culture here at Lawson Road of being friendly, being loving, of being interested in those that pass through, come through our doors, is so important. This is another great, a good slide to have up here. We raised our budget quite a bit in 2019, and we again slightly exceeded that. You'll see that our surplus for last year was actually negative. That means it's not a surplus, by about $30,000. But before you, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me move on to the next one. We had a missions collection. We operate our budget off 50 weeks. That leaves us 2 weeks for special collections. We had a special collection in October for missions. We raised almost $6,500 for our missions budget. We took up a special collection for Hurricane Dorian that we hit nearly $2,000 there. And then the big headline, of course, from last year is that this time last year, as I stood up here, I had up on the screen that our mortgage was $64,120, and today it's zero. So, as we think of the faithfulness of God, that we've been able to do that in about just a little more than half the time. It was a 15-year mortgage, and we did that in close, just a little over half the time of that mortgage. And so, of course, when you take $64,000 plus interest, it was more than that we ended up paying. And you pay that amount, that's why the surplus is in the red. So you can see we actually were very generous throughout the year. So that's enough of the numbers there. Last year, our theme was love in action. Love in action. 1 John 3:18, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. It's easy to say that we love people. I've often told you that every church says they're a loving church, right? They're cheap words. And the people that go to those churches feel love. But it doesn't mean that everybody that comes in the door feels the love of that loving church. And so not all churches are loving churches, at least not to everyone. And so it takes work, it takes effort, it takes commitment in order for us to be a loving church. Here's one of the ways that we did that last year. Magi boxes that we sent to Zambia. And this has become one of our big events in the year, hasn't it? You can see over the last few years how that has grown. More than doubled what we did back in 2015. And if you haven't noticed, our numbers here at Lawson Road haven't more than doubled in the last 2 years. But there's last few years, but there's a lot of people get involved, and it was interesting that as we were involved in the Magi project, maybe it's the time of year, but our attendance took a hike. Like there are people that come out to be involved in this, and you go, and which is great. The people want to give, want to spend money, want to serve in the name of Jesus. People, children in other parts of the world, and they're distributed through churches there in Zambia, and so it blesses their ministry and their impact in the community, not just the lives of the children who receive those boxes. We're also showing our love and involved in the local community in 2019. We continue to support the Greece Food Shelf. The Thanksgiving baskets go out through the food shelf. The community garden, we have the little library out the front, and you can still drop novels and that sort of thing down in the box by my office, and they'll get put out into that little library. Just a tiny little way of just connecting with our neighbors and our community, and it does have turnover in the books. We also, as I've mentioned several times, we're able to donate to the Lakeshore Elementary, which is just down on Ladder Road. If you go down Dewey, turn right, you'll see the elementary school on your left there. So just different ways we're involved in our community here in Greece, never mind the ways that each of us is individually involved in our own communities. Walk for Water was our first time we did this. Big event, and again, over $10,000 raised that goes towards our wells. It also went towards a garden, irrigation system for a garden. And again in Zambia, was that right, Larry?
No?
Zimbabwe. And so, again, a blessing, and we'll look at in a moment or after Lord's Supper a little later about what our plans are for this year. Other things that we did, that we were able to do. You're sitting, right, on chairs, sitting on comfortable seats. And that also was a lot of money that we dished out for that. That was a one-time thing. We had the longest night service just before Christmas was something new that we started for those that have lost loved ones or maybe finding the holidays a difficult time. We didn't have a huge crowd, but we got it started, and we're looking to grow that in the coming years. I thought it was successful and meaningful to those who were able to be here. And also the church library just outside the door, we continue to put new books in there. We cycle them through. None of them are longer than 5 years, older than 5 years, and so we try and keep that fresh. And it's been encouraging to see you make use of those. And then probably the other big new thing for us as a church in 2019 was committing to global missions. My slide last year, as we laid out what was going to happen, looked at local, looked at regional here in the States, and then looked at international as we followed the pattern that we see in Acts chapter 1 of Jerusalem and Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth as the apostles spread out to take the gospel. And so we don't just write checks to these ministries, to these missions. When we write those checks and when we send those send them, when we read their reports, when we pray for them, these people, these churches are spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus around the world in ways that we as a community here of 100 people could never do. And so we support Brockport, we support in Springfield, Massachusetts, Gareth Flannery and the West Springfield Church of Christ there, the Baxter Institute, which is a preacher, four-year preacher training school in Honduras that brings students from all over Central or Spanish-speaking Americas there, and then sends them back out again, and the Westerholm family and their mission in Mozambique. And so we've had a lot going on. That you can hopefully think of other things that as you go back and say, where have I seen God's goodness? Not just in my life, but in my church. How have I been blessed through things that happen here? There are so many different things that go on, that throughout the week, different ministries, different people involved. And I think just to mention that we have Howard who comes in and cleans the building each week. So there's a paid staff of three at Lawson Road, as we have Howard who does the cleaning, Loretta working in the office. And they're contributions to what takes place here behind the scenes are invaluable. There's no point having new carpet and clean chairs, new chairs if they're not being cleaned. And so they're paid. So many of you are involved in volunteer efforts that not for your benefit, but you donate your time, whether it's for a children's worship or teaching or just so many ways that bless each other, bless other people here. And so as we look back, we can say with the psalmist that the Lord has done great things for us. It doesn't mean that the year's been a perfect year of joy and happiness, that nothing's gone wrong for us. But it means that when we stop and reflect, we can see God's presence in our lives and that there were days that were filled with joy. I'm going to ask Larry to come up and give at this point in time before we take the Lord's Supper, before we sing a song, a prayer of thanksgiving for all that God has done for us and through us in the past year.
Would you bow with me, please? Holy Father, as a family here together at Lawson Road, we come before you with deep gratitude. We just sat here and listened to all that's been accomplished. And Father, we want to say very clearly, right here and right now, that it is not in our strength that anything was done, that it was you that were able to work through us. And we praise you for that. Father, we praise you that your word is now shared in Honduras, in Mozambique, and in Springfield, Massachusetts. We praise you that clean, safe drinking water, that gardens, and that the World Bible School material will be shared in many Yundo, Zimbabwe. We praise you, Father, that some of our family here have gone and made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the folks here in Rochester. But Father, you have touched our heart this past year to be active for you, and I praise you for that. Father, let us not look back at 2019 and ever say we did well. But Father, let us look back at 2019 and say, look what God did through us. Father, we praise you that you have counted us worthy to be vessels fit for your use. Through your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
The second half of Psalm 126 transitions. It begins by looking backwards at what God has done to the days when they were filled with joys. And then in verse 4 of Psalm 126, it looks forward. The psalmist says, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. The psalmist says, look, times can be difficult, but if we're faithful, if we keep doing what God wants us to be doing. As we look forward to a harvest of joy, a harvest of God, God's faithfulness, of blessing us. And that harvest theme, that sowing and harvest theme, actually fits both our thoughts that were just read from the Gospel of John and also our growth group discussions this week. So we look forward to ahead. What sheaves might we bring in? What seeds might we plant in the coming year? One of the things that I love about Vision Sunday is getting to share our theme for the new year. What are we going to focus on? Mostly it's in my preaching and sermon topics is how we focus, but we try and bring in some other areas as well. And our theme this year is we want to see Jesus. This is taken from John 12. And there in our reading, we see, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. And so for us, if you've been in the church a long time, I think sometimes we need to refocus or remind ourselves of the good news of Jesus. Sometimes we might get caught up in just the activities and the traditions and the customs of our congregation and the things that we do. And they're all good and they're blessings, and we just get what am I trying to say? We just get focused on that. Oh, I've got to be there on Sunday morning. I've got to be there at Bible class. I've got to make sure the lights are turned on. For me, it might be, do I have my PowerPoint slides right? Why is the computer on the front pew that's supposed to have my slides on it not showing them right now? You know, like, am I on time? Am I ready? Did this happen? Is that happening? Is the heat right? You know, all sorts of things that might go in that we think about, oh, I'm doing church. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Sometimes we might be in an extended study in the books, in the letters of Paul or the book of Acts, and we focus on those and we deal with those, and they're good and they're great, but those are not the gospel. Those were Paul or other church leaders writing to congregations, pointing them back to Jesus, telling them how to live as Christians and what that meant. But they are not the gospel. And if we spend all our time in there and we're focused on like following those, that's good. It's a good thing to do. But sometimes we need to remind ourselves that the gospel is Jesus. And we need to say to one another that we want to see Jesus. That's what Paul wanted. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Right? So that ultimately we want to see Jesus. We're Christians, followers of Christ. And so that this year we had this opportunity to go back and say, we want to see Jesus. And just take the time to reorient ourselves in that way, to remind ourselves of the good news of the gospel. And don't you think it just gladdened Jesus' heart in this story in John, where some Greeks, Gentiles, or maybe Greek Jews, when they come and they say, we want to see him. You know, Jesus ran into opposition so much. And he still does, right? And so for people to say, we want to see Jesus, I just think that as we do that, as we pursue that, that it's something that gladdens, continues to gladden Jesus' heart. And so that's sort of point one. Point two coming out of this text is, do you notice what happens? Who was it that these Greeks spoke to? They spoke to Philip. Well, Philip, for whatever reason, didn't feel adequate, didn't know what to do with them. Maybe because they're Greeks, didn't know if Jesus would want to see them. Like, you want to see him? I'm not sure if he... The disciples seemed to... They didn't think Jesus wanted to see children on another occasion, you know? And so Philip's like, hey, I don't know what to do here, Andrew. Andrew, help me out. You know, you're Peter's brother. What would Peter do? What would you do? What, you know? And Andrew's like, yeah, I don't know, Greeks. well, how about you come with me, and the two of us will go to Jesus, and we'll get this figured out, you know, together. And so what I see happening here is that we have the image of a relay up there, but it's a team effort. That the Greeks don't just walk up to Jesus. The disciples had a role. I think they were probably there and they functioned quite well as crowd control many times, you know, so that Jesus wasn't overwhelmed. That was an important function for them, but they had to show discernment, and they weren't always the best at doing that. But Andrew knew, Philip knew that when he had a question, there was someone else he could go to. There was someone else he could talk to. There was someone else he could get support from. And Philip knew that Andrew knew that he could take Philip with him and that the two of them could go together and that they could support each other as they went and talked to Jesus. And together they could bring these Greeks and together they could talk to them. And perhaps neither of them had the confidence to introduce the Greeks to Jesus by themselves. But together they could. And so in our life here at Lawson Road, our life as a church, there are times where one of us can do something and another of us can do something else, and together we can do a third thing, or we can do each thing better, and we each have roles to play. But if Philip had just responded to the Greeks. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think Jesus wants to see Greeks today. You know, today's Jews Day. I don't think he wants to see you. We'll just leave it be. And if Andrew had said, oh, well, thanks, Philip, you can go now. And then he interviews them and says, we're not dealing with that. Yeah. Then, but together and as a team, they could function. It's important that we do that as a church. Many of you have heard the sort of summary that says, what is it, 80% do 20% of the work, or 90%, 10% do 80% of the work, or I'll get this straight. 10% do 90% of the work, okay? Or 20% do 80% of the work. Take your pick, however that works. But it's actually false. It's completely false. Because the truth is that 20% of the people can only ever do 20% of the work. And the other 80% of the work that needs to be done, if nobody does it, just doesn't get done. And so if as a church, 50% of the work, 50% of the people give 100%, 50% of what we can accomplish as a church, what God can do through us, 50% of it will get done. Like, we will never live up to our full potential as a congregation until 100% of the people are doing 100% of what we can do through Christ in the Spirit. And when that happens, then we have equilibrium. But before that, as long as it's 25% trying to do 100%, we can't. It's not possible. Now, I'm not saying 100% of the people doing 100% of the work is, you know, everybody quit your jobs. You know, it means doing what we can. But when we can be doing something for God, and we're not, then the church, instead of doing 100% of what God can do through it, ends up doing 10 or 20% in any given year, rather than the 100. The Greeks, Philip, Andrew, ultimately got to Jesus. And it's this type of teamwork, this type of relay, that is going to allow us to accomplish what we do. When we say we want to seek Jesus and we support one another, when we work together, then we can reach the potential that God has given us. And then just as sowing seeds leads to bringing in the sheaves with joy, right? Jesus in this passage puts it this way. He says, truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And this is the reality, that the church life and following Jesus isn't always easy. Like, you think, oh, I throw a seed in the ground. What we don't think about, and I just think Jesus makes such a great point here, is that that seed is going to disappear. Right? If you come back and when you pick whatever it is, this is what, a bean or something, when you come back and you harvest the beans, if you go back and try and find that seed, you won't find it. The seed has gone. The seed had to die in order for the plant to grow. And so, oh, it's easy to stand up here and say, hey, if we had 100% of the people, you know, giving 100% of what they could, the church would live up to 100% of the potential that God has given us. That sounds like simple math, right? Oh, that's easy math. That's not even intimidating math. You know? It's so easy to roll off the tongue. And yet the truth is, that the reality is that it takes commitment, that it's difficult. And Jesus knew this. Jesus himself had to die so that it could produce many seeds. And that's what we see happen in the life of the disciples and the life of the church. And so there are times that it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take giving up something. It's going to take dying to self and living for Christ. It's going to take giving away something that we value, some time or some event, or maybe some money or some. There will be things in the year that if we're going to try and live up to our 100%, There will be things that we give up, that we die to this year, that we didn't die to last year. But we want to see Jesus, right? And so seeing Jesus isn't always just all cuddles and friendly. Because the path that Jesus took wasn't always roses and green grass. It went through the valley of the shadow of death as well as beside the still waters. Psalm 126 says, there's times we sow in tears. This is this idea of dying. It's that there's a cost, but we reap in joy. And what we reap is more than what dies. I want to sort of break away. That's our text. That's our theme. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good. I've said a couple of times, I'm preaching through the Gospel of Mark to start the year. We'll wrap that up at Easter as we focus in on the life of Christ. We've had a lot going on in January, so we'll sort of really get in a rhythm in February and March, and we'll probably end up doing mostly the second half of the Gospel of Mark, just to fit it in by Easter. But that's how that was chosen. In 2020, we are sowing seeds, and I want to share some of these with you. I'm probably missing things, but Harmony Sunday is coming up again this year. March 1st is the Sunday. And Clarence Campbell will be our speaker. He's hopeful this year that his wife, Pam, will be able to come with him. They're out in Rhode Island and working with a small church out there. But we're looking forward to what he has to say as he reflects on unity and diversity in the kingdom of God and how we can create the image of God in our church and in our lives. Along that note, Yakira and Ashley are putting together taking care of our concert that we have after our worship. We'll have worship, Bible class, worship, lunch, and then a concert. And Yakira and Ashley are putting that together. If you're interested in being part of that, you can let them know today. But you can also, there'll be a meeting next week after worship for those that are interested in that. And so March 1st will come up pretty quickly. But I appreciate them stepping up to help coordinate that. I have some other dates here that I want to draw to your attention. Here we go. Harmony Sunday is March 1st. The next one is Inspire New England, which is the workshop out at in Connecticut that several of us have been to multiple times. And that's on again this year, March 13 and 14. It's a Friday night and Saturday. And one of the larger get-togethers of the churches in the New England area, and always some good teaching and just getting to know some other churches and other people. And you're invited to that. We'll have flyer. If we don't already have a poster downstairs, we will as it gets closer. The men's retreat. This is our first men's retreat in a long time. I think about my first year or so here, I think we had a men's retreat down near Dansville. And it was bunk houses and communal showers. And I don't know if we've all got soft in the 10 years since, but man, I hate to tell it to you, but we're going to the same place as the ladies. And it's comfortable beds, private bathrooms, you know, so. I think as long as you say it with a deep voice, it's okay. So this is a great chance. Our focus for this men's retreat is to get to know each other. You know, that idea of Philip and Andrew working together, they knew. Philip chose Andrew out of all the people, out of all the 12. He said, you know, Andrew's the person I feel comfortable going to and working with. And so if we don't know one another, then we sit around and we go, oh, who can I talk to about this? Who can help me? And sometimes we don't do it because we just don't know what people are interested in, what their skills are. And so this is a chance to get to know each other. That's really our focus, more than Bible classes or anything like that. So March 27 and 28, we'll have more information coming out about that. Again, that's a Friday night. Also, on that, as though it's not going to be busy enough, on that same weekend is a marriage workshop here in Rochester. It's put on by an organization called Family Life, which is out of Arkansas. And it is a two-night thing. It's a Friday, Saturday night, and then finishes sort of around noon on Sunday. And so we want to just make this available to obviously, to married couples, you know, in the church. And it's not for people whose marriages are on their last legs. If you think that doing something to take your marriage from 85 to 95 by just investing a couple of nights, a couple of days in your marriage, then by all means do that. And so there is information downstairs and buy the bulletins for that. And if you register before the 27th of January, you can get it for half price. There's a code down there. I think it's normally $350 a couple just for the conference fees. And it'll be $175. This year it's in Rochester. Often it goes between Rochester and Buffalo. That means that you don't have to stay at the hotel or eat out. You can stay at home and eat at home, and that keeps your costs down. So we're making that available to you. Unfortunately, it clashes with the men's retreat. Men, there's no excuse for not being somewhere and investing in your well-being one way or the other. Also coming up is Walk for Water. That is going to be June 6th. We're doing it again. We have a new location, and it's flat.
Yeah.
I know it's a little disappointing. Some of you thrive on challenges, you can do an extra lap if you're finding it to be disappointing. And so we'll have more details coming out about that. It's June 6th. So put that in your calendar. It's a Saturday, of course. August 23, we are already booked in for worship in the park. And October 25th will be Mission Sunday. So we're continuing to support missions. We don't see any significant changes in our missions for this coming year, but we need your participation to make that work. While we're talking about missions, I just want to share with you Steve Teal, who is the president of the Baxter Institute, let me know that this is the student that we are supporting. I am not going to say the name of his town. Mike Monroy is from Columbia, and he has a degree in civil engineering, but has decided to go and invest 4 years at the Baxter Institute to train for ministry. And I do not know at this point, if he's planning to go back to Colombia or somewhere else in Central America, but our support is making it possible for him to get his training and go out and do preaching. That is the Baxter chorus up there in the top, and Mike is on the far left. So that's just to put a face to what we're supporting and what we're doing there in Honduras. 2020, some other opportunities that we have. We've got the food shelf is continuing. The growth groups are continuing. Community garden is continuing. Wings is continuing. I know you're going to have a great time with your plans this afternoon, ladies. The Sisters of Dorcas are still going. And if you have the time and you haven't been along there, they have as much fun as they make crafts. And so... go for the fellowship, even if you don't know how to glue two pieces of paper together. They encourage me each Tuesday morning. We'll have again the old the survey class, Bible survey class over the summer. John Hardiman and I are still talking about what that's going to look like this year. It takes a lot longer to go through the Old Testament than the New Testament. So if we'll do some of the Old Testament, or just make everybody read twice as much, But this is a course that's we try and pitch it at a college level, just to take a different approach to what we do on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And I got a lot out of it last year. I know John did, and I think our students did also. So if you're interested in that, talk to John and I, and let us know that you want to be part of that. We haven't nailed down a time. Last year it was Sunday evening. So unless we come up with something else that's really compelling, it's probably in the same time slot because, you know, we don't like change. But let us know if you want to be part of it but need a different time slot. And then Camp Hunt is still a ministry that we support. We have our collection for Camp Hunt usually in April, I think. And there are scholarships available for our children to attend and meet other kids from around New York, central New York. The elders have given us, as I've talked with them, some emphases for the coming year, not just specific ministries, but areas that we want to emphasize as a congregation. And three of them sort of have to do with the same thing. The first one is children's ministry. One of the things we've talked about doing is distinguishing between what we do in Bible classes and children's worship, which we might think of as children's education, but also children's ministry, and saying that we there are other activities, other events, other ways of building relationship and having our kids who don't go to school together and don't naturally see each other outside of Sunday morning to connect, because they need that support and encouragement to live as Christians as much as we adults do. And so we really want to find ways of promoting that ministry beyond education for our children. But that doesn't mean education isn't important. And so we will be looking for more volunteers and different ways. What's the most effective way to teach and to pass on our faith to our children here, and maybe even using it as to reach those that aren't here, you know, that other children that are in our orbit. And then connected with that is child safety. We have slowly and mostly steadily been working on our child safety team. The team is three ladies: Laurie Crawford, Kim Kishorek, Chandra Cunningham, and then Steve and I function as liaisons with the rest of the leadership there. And as we, and so child safety is important to us. And here's how important that it is we have sent out to, or Steve has sent out emails to many people asking you to fill out a background check. The church is paying for those background checks. If you've received one of those, we need you to fill it out. We need you to fill it out by the end of this month. And here's what happens. If it's not filled out by the end of this month, then we can't allow you to work with children. We can't allow you to teach. We can't allow you to volunteer at events. We can't allow you to drive with them. And that's not an insurance thing. That is us valuing our children and doing everything we can to protect them and care for them and to love them. And so we're also, I'm sure over the coming year, we're also going to talk how can we continue to educate ourselves as a church about ways that we can make our environment safer for our children. Because we can't emphasize children's ministry and children's education and provide an environment that puts them at risk. And so we're continuing to work on that. If you have any concerns, if you see behavior that you have concerns about, really, Laurie, Kim, and Chandra are great people for you to take your concerns to. They have the elder's ear, and they, as the child safety team, along with Steve and I, we really want to empower them to hold the leadership accountable. That is the function of the child safety team, that they don't allow myself or the elders to sweep concerns under the rug. Okay, and so please, if you need to jot those names down, do so and talk to them and involve them in protecting us. So that's an emphasis this year. And then lastly, leadership development. And so that is important for us as we move forward. Right now we have more elders than we have deacons. We have a lot of ministry leaders, but we need to continue to invest in the training and equipping of men and women, you know, that, that take a lead in our congregation to run all that we do. You know, we talk about Andrew and Philip and what they knew and didn't know. Jesus was training them. You know, the mistakes that Philip made, the uncertainty that Andrew had, Jesus was training them. And so as our elders, those who are more mature leaders, have that responsibility to continue to invest and to train those that are coming after us. All of this, all these plans, all these hopes that we have, all these seeds that we're trying to plant, they're our efforts, and we pray that God is guiding them, that we pray over them, and we do it because we want to see Jesus, but also because we want others, and that color does not show up. There's an others up there that you can't see, that we want others to see Jesus in us, okay? And that's kind of the way it goes, that if we see Jesus, that as we become more like Christ, that others will see Jesus in us. That as our seeds die, that the harvest may multiply. Thank you for all that you do as a church to be Jesus, to live out, to serve, to grow his kingdom. I'm coming on 12 years here at Lawson Road. And a lot of stuff has happened in that time. And it's not about my career or my accomplishments, but just to have a purpose. And I feel that at Lawson Road, I have a purpose. That what I'm doing isn't wasted. And likewise, I hope that what you're doing, that you feel that you're not wasted, that you are valuable in God's kingdom, and that your efforts and your energies are serving God and blessing the lives of others. And sometimes we sow in tears, but we always look forward to reaping